we have not focused on foreclosures and what's happening to homeowners as much as I would like. We have the tools to do it. We've got to set up a negotiation between banks and borrowers so that people can stay in their homes.
Hello, and welcome to NPR's Planet Money. I'm Alex Blumberg.
And I'm Dan Costello.
It's November 17th at about 4 p.m., and that was President-elect Barack Obama you just heard speaking on 60 Minutes last night.
That was a good interview.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
We'll be talking more about mortgages and specifically private mortgage insurance coming up in the podcast later, but right now it's time for the Planet Money indicators. The TED spread is creeping back up. It's at 2.15 today.
It goes down, it goes up.
I know, but it's a generally it's been, you know, its high was over a 4. It got back down to around 2, but it seems like that's still much higher than it has been historically, and you want it well under 1, where it seems like now it's going back up again. So, not sure what's going on there. And then we have a couple other sort of specific indicators.
Yeah, the big news this morning is that Citigroup, the biggest bank in America, announced they were cutting an additional 53,000 jobs over the next few months on top of 20,000 job cuts just a few months ago. And so that means that at the peak, they were in 2007, they had 375,000 employees. They will be down to about 300,000.
Wow. So that's almost a quarter of their workforces.
It's about 20% of the workforce. And from the discussion that the executives had with employees in New York today, it seems that most of that or a big chunk of that will come in New York and London. So those two cities will feel it hard.
Wow. Yeah. And I guess following up on that, the National Association of Business Economics, in their most recent survey, they surveyed all their members, and 96% of those business economists now agree that we are in a recession. Now, that is not the official recession forecasting body, like the one who actually says, yes, it's official, we're in a recession. That is the NBER, the National Bureau of Economic Research, and they have still not actually weighed in on the question of whether or not we're in a recession. But the NABE, the National Association of Business Economics, 96% are in agreement.
Because a recession is when you have two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
Right.
Did I say that correctly? But needs to happen for us to officially be in a recession.
For us to officially be in a recession. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so that's what the NBER is waiting to weigh in on. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe for an upcoming Planet Money, we could talk to one of the...
Who are the 4%?
The 4%,
I know. In a recession. I know we were saying earlier, it must be defense contractors.
Yeah. So we've gotten a lot of listener questions about private mortgage insurance, like this one from Holly Yoders of Florida.
What happened to all the PMI insurance premiums that were paid on mortgage loans with less than 20% down? I haven't heard any press on this, and I live in Lee County, Florida, which had one of the highest foreclosure rates there for a while. Shouldn't the PMI insurers be providing some sort of relief to the defaulted mortgage lenders?
To try to answer Holly's question, I called up Hampton Finer, who is the chief economist at the New York Insurance Department. All right, so Hampton?
Yes.
So that's a very reasonable question. What do you...
I think the answer is that the mortgage insurers will certainly pay on valid claims. I think the concern is there's a couple of concerns from the perspective of the lenders, you know, which were the banks, which are the beneficiaries of these mortgage insurance policies, which are paid for by the borrowers in general.
So let's just take this through. Like there's a couple terms that she was using. So PMI insurance, that's private mortgage insurance, right?
Exactly.
And so if I'm a borrower, I take out a mortgage, I don't have 20% to put down. Generally, I have to buy private mortgage insurance, which is just sort of I pay for it, and then if I default on my loan, that the mortgage the private insurance company then pays my lender, basically, right?
That's correct for their losses,
right?
Due to your default. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you were saying and basically that system is. Do we know how many people took out private mortgage insurance?
You know, I don't know that offhand, but quite a few mortgages, especially in recent years, were below that 20% that 20% level.
Mm-hmm. 20% down payment level.
20% down payment level. Now, there were alternatives. You may have heard the word piggyback loans that were used instead of private mortgage insurance, but quite a few loans did have private mortgage insurance during the height of the housing sort of boom, bubble, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, and so what you're saying is that generally, if I'm one of these borrowers, I took out a mortgage, I lost my job, I can't pay my mortgage now, I had private mortgage insurance. You're saying that whoever lent me the money is getting paid by my insurance company right now if I'm in default.
You won't get paid until after there's a foreclosure.
Okay.
So typically, this indemnifies, not 100%, but to some degree indemnifies the lender for losses that are suffered due to foreclosure.
I see.
And there has to be a period, you know, there has to be a recovery. So the lender has to go out, will incur certain expenses, of course, sell the home and recover a certain amount. And then they compare the expenses plus the amount of recoveries to the loan amount and come up with a loss amount. And then some portion of that will be covered by the private mortgage insurer at that point.
So even in a best case scenario where all that happens fairly quickly, they foreclose on me, they sell my house, they sell it at a loss, and then they have some sort of amount, say it's, you know, $50,000 that they're in the red, they're not going to get that whole $50,000 back.
It would depend. I mean, usually there are caps in some sense on the amount to which the amount that's covered, and the way the mortgage is sold is that it'll be sort of a maximum recovery rate that will be covered, and then anything over and above, anything below that, if the sale price is lower or the expenses are higher, you know, some portion of that may not be covered.
I see. Okay.
I mean, one of the interesting phenomena that we're seeing or hearing about is that recovery rates are lower than they were historically. So in the past, you may have recovered maybe 60 cents on the dollar. Because of the steep declines in housing prices, perhaps the inflation of appraised values, the higher loan numbers, you're getting situations now where the recovery rates are lower than they have been historically.
And private mortgage insurance wasn't set up to deal with those big discrepancies?
There were two issues. I mean, private mortgage insurance wasn't set up to deal with such sharp property price declines, first. And secondly, such a widespread wave of foreclosures.
Right.
Often you'll have quite steep declines regionally, but to have national declines of the type that we've seen is very unusual.
So I still don't quite understand, though. It seems like her question is still valid. Even if you're not able to recover everything, if most of these borrowers had some kind of private mortgage insurance, it seems like that should at least sort of staunch the bleeding here. It seems like why has it still turned into a crisis?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, not for those insured loans, I think that private mortgage insurance will definitely help.
Mm-hmm.
All the leading private mortgage insurers are in trouble in one form or another, at least have suffered downgrades, and I think there is some doubt now about whether they will all be solvent at the end of the day. Although,
this seems like a fairly important issue then that we should touch on. So what you're saying is that the insurance policies are in place, but people are worried that the actual insurance companies are not going to be able to honor all their obligations.
Well, I think that's a possibility. I mean, I think all of them are currently solvent, but you know, if the foreclosures continue and if the housing prices continue to decline, I think there is some fear that not all of the companies will survive.
I see. And so is that having an effect right now on what banks have to do with these?
Well, I think that mostly, I think folks are really haven't seen all the foreclosures develop yet. So the claims have not all arrived at the private mortgage insurers. With the market is guessing, though, that perhaps those mortgage insurers will not be able to honor all of the claims that they ultimately receive.
I see.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, their overall invested assets in the industry, you know, is not nearly as high as the amount of foreclosures that are being anticipated.
And by overall invested assets, that mean you basically mean the amount of money that they have on hand.
The resources that they have to pay claims is finite and relatively small relative to the overall level of foreclosures that some are anticipating. Now, they may not all be insured loans, and much of them aren't. But I think it's going to be tight.
Right. Wow. So they. So this is not one of these situations with these with the with these PM these PMI companies. This is not a situation where they went out and did some boneheaded things and got themselves in trouble necessarily. Or I don't know if you can talk to that.
I think that they, by and large, you know, they did what they always did. I think that they did perhaps they do have some underwriting restrictions that they may not have been as careful about. I mean, again, these were the no-doc loans and the liar loans, and all those kind of loans that you hear about would have included some insured loans. So,
right.
Insofar as anybody made these errors, I'm certain that the mortgage insurers made some of the same mistakes.
Right. In agreeing to insure these loans in the first place, basically.
Exactly.
Right, right. Now, is there something – there's some – an issue – that you and I spoke about earlier when we spoke on the phone, there was another issue, which is the reinsurance issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, through all these years, this was this, you know, mortgage insurance was a very good business. I mean, there were very few as housing prices rise. That means there's, you know, borrowers are accumulating equity very quickly in their homes, and they're very unlikely to default as the home becomes more valuable.
Right.
They sell it for more money than they purchase if they do lose their jobs. So the housing prices have a lot to do with how successful the mortgage insurers were. Now, some of the banks who were originating these loans saw some opportunities in this marketplace. They didn't like seeing money that was being paid by borrowers to the mortgage insurers. They'd rather that money was paid to them. So sort of in exchange for giving them business or for you know, driving business towards those mortgage insurers, they would insist, the banks sometimes would insist on a retention amount so that they would actually assume part of the risk of that mortgage insurance in exchange for a reinsurance premium from the mortgage insurer.
I see. So it was sort of like the banks were saying to the mortgage insurers, hey, we want some of those premiums that people are paying you, and if you give us half the premiums, then we'll agree to pay half the
exactly. And that was often how it worked. So, in many cases, the mortgage insurer, you know, which at the time really didn't like this because it meant that part of their business was going to someone else, we're very fortunate in some sense, but that in turn puts more pressure on the banks, on the lenders.
I see.
You know,
so
who set up these reinsurance companies.
So to answer our listener's question with regards to this issue, because some of the private mortgage insurance, the obligations that these private mortgage insurance companies had were now shared by the banks.
Exactly.
So the banks are the ones in trouble, so that's not actually helping them either. That actually compounds their loss.
Exactly.
I think that definitely answers our question that there are many, in other words, there are many, many reasons why private mortgage insurance isn't helping.
is going to be of limited help, I think.
It'll help, right, but not as much as we might hope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to do it for today for us at Planet Money. I'm Dan Costello.
And I'm Alex Bloomberg. Thanks for listening. You know that I can use somebody.